welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. It's been a few weeks since we were on. A few things have happened. We've had our Champions League draw, which we'll see Celtic playing FC Midtjylland in their first qualifier. The SPFL fixtures have been released, which have seen Celtic drawn away to Tynecastle on day one, which will be a Saturday night, 8 o'clock kickoff. And generally, we've heard a lot more from Ange and Dom McKay. Lucky enough to get an invite to the much spoken about fan media conference, which I'm sure we'll speak about, because I know a lot of people have had a lot of different opinions on it, so we'll give ours. But Andy, we'll jump right in it. It's been a few weeks, I think, when we last spoke. It wasn't long after Ange had been officially announced. We gave our initial reactions now that he's been in the country for a few weeks. What have you made of what's been happening at Celtic, and what's your reaction to the Champions League draw as well?
I don't know. I suppose the draw went ordinarily. We say, like, I never really fully prepared for these qualifiers, but ordinarily, if Paul Mitchell and out a hat first round, then you would fancy Celtic to win it. But these are ordinary times, and it's not an ordinary Celtic team, given what we've been used to. So I think, regardless of who was coming out the hat, it was going to be difficult, because we've got a lot of signings that are needing made. We've got a team that's probably, the year's going to be a year of transition, if we're open and honest enough about it, without a big surprise. So I think, happy enough with the draw, but as happy as I could be, but it's always going to be a difficult game, really, given where we're at the moment. But hopefully, as the days go by, that gets brighter and brighter, and you see improvements coming. And I'm actually warming towards him. No saying he's going to be an instant hit, he's going to be a outstanding Celtic manager, but I'm actually really warming at the guy. I don't think he stands for any shite. I don't think, even the way he treated a couple of the media questions, when he spoke to the mainstream media before he spoke to the fans, some of his responses I was really happy with. Just to hear a guy that, it just seems like he just won't take any shite for the fucking idiots that we've got that write the papers here. I mean, there's also idiots that ask staff questions at fan media events, but other than that question, the event went really well, and I think that the communication for Ange as well, Dom McKay and all, I thought both of them spoke really well. They said a lot of things that me, you, we've all discussed, we've all wanted to hear. Fan engagement, about the direction we want the club to go. They seemed as if they were both focused on building something, building a project, building the club to go in the right direction, modernising it, revolutionising it. And these are all things that he said. And he obviously spoke about transfers a wee bit here and there. And it's positive words. And right now, that's all his words. But you can only take what he's saying until you see actions get into place. But I'm really warming towards the guy, and I'm thinking that hopefully he gets the back. Usually I would highly doubt that, when it was Law that would have been sat next to him in that presser, but it wasn't. It was a new face. It was somebody who we're all looking to put our faith in alongside Ange, and I'm hoping that if he gets the backing, he can reward us, because I'm taking a liking to him, and I'm hoping that it works out.
Aye, definitely. Danny, what's your thoughts on Ange now? He's been in the country for a few weeks. He's completed his isolation. Even watched England-Scotland game down at Wembley with Dom McKay. Yeah. Don't want to harp on too much about the press conference, but what was your thoughts on it? I'm sort of the same as Andy. I thought he spoke very well. He shut down, especially in the mainstream media one, which Andy alluded to. I felt like he shut down a few questions from certain journalists who were trying to, like, especially, I can't remember who it was, but the one who tried to insinuate about him being second choice, and he just replied about, how do you know I'm not fifth choice? So it just seems like that's not going to really be an issue for him handling them. Hey, what's your first impressions of Ange now he's officially in his capacity as Celtic manager?
I agree with a lot of what Andy said. I was kind of impressed with the way that he handled each question from fans and from the media. I don't think he's a mug at all. I think he's quite clearly got a lot of kind of confidence in his own ability. And I think his experiences as a manager in the last 20 odd years have probably kind of helped mould that confidence. I was talking to my pal in work yesterday, and he said he thinks he's got a bit of gravitas about him. And it was something I picked up on when in his answers. I think I was worried this was going to be like another dialer, and I think it obviously could be. And I was a big fan of Ronnie Dialer, but I think when you look, hindsight's a wonderful thing, you look back, there was a lot that didn't go right for Ronnie Dialer, even though he won two leagues and a cup. But the way that Ange spoke about, this is how we're going to do things, it wasn't, this is what I'd like to happen, it was, this is how we're going to do it, this is how we're going to play. And I think if you're a player watching that, you've only really got two choices. It's either pack up and leave or get on board. So I was impressed with him. But again, Andy's right, it's only words. We need to see it on the training pitch, we need to see it in games. The thing about him saying, how do you know I wasn't the fifth choice, I think that is his way of diffusing what was obviously going to be asked. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason it's been basically a month for the Eddie Howe thing. Maybe they were trying to protect him for that, but you know, the media were never going to miss a chance to have a go at him. So thought he answered that really well. Thought he answered most of the questions really well. I think the other thing for the conference I wanted to pick up on was Dom McKay. I don't think he's a mug either. I think he's a very intelligent man who it's been flung right in at the deep end. And, you know, I said on here his position was untenable after the Eddie Howe thing. But that's just because the way that Celtic were trying to frame it, that it was this guy's hire and it went tits up. And now look at him, but the way he spoke was quite impressive. And I think you just need to give him a chance. But at the end of the day, Ange can only, Postecoglou, he can only be as successful as the two guys that were sitting next to him allowing him to be. So good first impression, but there's a long, long way to go.
Aye, definitely. I'm quite impressed with Mackay recently. I think, especially, obviously, Merrill coming as the summer develops, but I sort of think the way he's negotiating with clubs seems to be in Celtic's interest, and I know that should always be the case, but I feel that maybe in the past with guys like Dembele and Tierney, we've maybe let them go for a bit less than what we should have, and the fact that Edwards moved to Leicester was said to have collapsed because of Celtic wanting too much, and now Celtic no settling for a price that they deem unacceptable for Christopher Ayer, despite having that agreement with him they could leave. It seems to be shown that he's not going to be pushed around, and I completely agree. Tony, you went on behalf of the pod to the fan media conference. I think it's been widely well received, especially obviously people that listen to fan media will be very appreciative that their favourite podcasts and blogs can go and ask questions of these guys. But what did you make of it, and what made you come out with that question? I know you were first up, but to bring up Tony Mowbray, Tony, that was just too far.
You know, I wish I brought up Nair. It was between that and the five-way agreement in Resolution 12. My head was spinning in circles, my arse collapsed, so somehow I got onto Tony Mowbray. No, obviously the first question has been widely covered. I mean, I don't really care what people ask. Celtic have invited people. As you can see, they definitely don't ask what the fans in there are going to ask. Obviously, there wasn't a question that was asked. It was more a kind of rant that's been shared 100 times over. So, I don't know. I thought in the whole there was quite a few good, interesting questions asked. Again, I don't see us as fan media. I just see us as fans who are in there. I asked a question I thought that me, it's just a question that me as a fan wanted to know in terms of who the next captain would be. And then as a fan, I asked Dominic Mackay about communication because I thought it was woeful in terms of, I mentioned the January review, which became a farce, and then, you know, leaking exclusives to the Sun continually. I mean, we were obviously having to quote tweet them if it was Lennon was getting sacked or all these different rumours, and you don't want to be doing that, but they were the accurate source. Somebody for the club was giving the Sun information. So it was just I can understand, I said it before, why people don't like podcasts and YouTubes and bloggers. I can get that 100%, and I think that's obviously the club will need to try and engage more with, whether it be supporters clubs or whatever else. For people who don't like listening to guys like us talking shite, again, completely understand it. So, but I thought on the whole it was a positive press conference, if you would call it that. I thought there was a lot of people commented on it. The kind of the normal journals or the qualified journalists, I read some of their articles, and I thought 50 minutes and you focused on what, a 50 second intro that was a bit daft about referees and people being your friends and whatever else. But I think a lot of the questions in there were fine. I didn't see any issue with them. I know a lot of people saying that these guys are threatened, and no doubt there's organisations taking part in fan media that are much better than these guys. If you look at the Cynic, for example, they're a full organisation. Celtic State of Mind's a full organisation. There's so many of them that are doing so many different things, and it's all kind of Celtic content that they create. I mean, I would rather listen to a Celtic podcast than listen to, I don't know, Tom English talking to Neil Lennon. I mean, no hitting them with any difficult questions. So, no, I can understand the reaction to it, but as far as I'm concerned, that kind of stuff's going to continue. We're happy for it to continue. I think somebody tweeted the other day just to say, oh, make sure you don't become kind of lackeys for the club, and that will never be the case. If things hit the fan, and we would still be allowed in press conferences, we would ask difficult questions. But I think for now, we're all trying to kind of be positive and give Postecoglou a chance. I thought it came across well for Dominic Mackay. A lot of big buzzwords and a lot of things that are exciting, talking about being world-class. But again, I think Anne said it himself, that it is just words. You can talk about all these things, but as it stands, we've not actually signed anybody. And I think we lost our head scout today, or maybe somebody in the analytics department. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe it was a sports scientist. So it's all good talking about things, but we now need to see action. Dominic Mackay's alluded to his official start date quite a number of times, and that is going to be in 2 days' time. So I don't know if we've got big plans for that. But overall, I mean, it was great to be back inside the stadium. For me, that was my main thing, was just to get back into Celtic Park, and hopefully everybody's back in there soon enough.
Oh, I agree with what you say. I think, like, that guy who asked, or came out with that statement at the start. You know what? He knows his readers or his listeners a lot better than us. And I've had a few people that I know who agree completely with what he says. Maybe it's what sort of something you speak to him when it's not recorded, because it does sort of give your mainstream media and opposition fans the chances to try and sort of like belittle you with it and that. But you know what? A lot of what he says, probably there's a lot of truth to it. But was it the time for it? I don't think so, especially as the first question, it did sort of take away from it. But he completely, like you say, it just shows people worry about the fan media that he invited having their questions vetted and getting told what they can ask. But I think that showed that that's not Celtic's intention, and it's fair enough for them. Like, they sent everybody that was there a high quality copy of the press conference, which you can check out on their YouTube channel. We've uploaded it in full. Just go search Four Times in a Podcast on YouTube, and if you want to catch up with that. Danny, just on signings, I think what's happened, Jack Hendry's obviously officially left the club, but are we just sort of waiting until Don Mackay's officially started so that he can get his signings on the go? Because when you see some of the videos, I know the Scotland players aren't back yet, but when you see the videos from training, it's hardly inspiring that you've got a Champions League qualifier in a number of weeks, and the squad we've got currently just doesn't look like it'll be capable of springing any sort of shock.
They'll probably use that excuse, won't they? We've heard that this guy's incoming and he doesn't start, but he played a big part in getting the primary managerial target to agree to take the job. And then when he fell through, if you listen to Don Mackay the other day, when he unveiled the new manager, he vetted and went for the next manager. So if that's not working as Celtic CEO, I don't know what Don Mackay's been doing the last couple of months. But of course, there's this thought, theory that he's going to come in the 1st of July and announce like 8 players. Don't know, we need players to come in. I just, the Croatian boy, the centre-half, looks like, I mean, I've never seen him play, I'd never heard of him until last week, but he's got that, you know, did a bit of reading about him, and he seems to come through that mould of decent, you know, kind of ball can see kind of player with Croatia bring through these young players. And, you know, they are highly rated when they're 17, 18, 19. Look at, you know, Simonovic, who probably, I mean, it's, I know he won a, we've got a game, the quadruple treble, he won two of the three trophies last year. But I think Simonovic underachieved at Celtic, and I know that's daft to say after having won, but I think when he came here, he came, you know, £4.5 million, I think, we spent on him. He had a big reputation. But then if this boy comes in and delivers, you know, wins the same amount of things that Simonovic wins, he'll probably go down as a hero. But I've seen they were linked to a Japanese boy the day that plays with Man City. Surprise, surprise. So you never know. I mean, hopefully. I do believe Ange Postecoglou will be looking at people, and he'll probably have signings in the ready. I know I said in the group chat, for no reason, for zero reason other than my gut feeling, I think we're going to sign the boy Ryan, the goalkeeper, the Australian. Apart from that, I've got any idea that I would like to see something happen in the next week, because I don't, the thing is, people keep talking about the Champions League. We don't, the worrying thing for me is we don't need, it's not like you need a player in case somebody gets injured. We need a player to start in these games. We need 3 or 4 players, maybe even more. In fact, it probably is more. It's more 6 or 7 that realistically should be looking to start this first game against Midtjylland. And the longer it goes on before that game, I think there's only 3 weeks or something, we need these players in. The manager's got to have a chance to put a team together, because if he doesn't, then we're going to be out of the Champions League, and it's going to be, you're already playing catch-up. Because for all the positivity of Friday and the fact that, right, he's a manager, let's get behind him. You know yourself, the 4 years all know, what I might say might apply to somebody on here or the Freeze, but there's Celtic fans that can't wait to get on Postecoglou's back, and a defeat to Midtjylland would have him playing catch-up straight away.
Aye, Andy, I know you're a bit short for time, so I'll bring you in before you have to boost. Just a bit more detail on the Champions League tie. It was always going to be a tricky task, and the last time we played a Danish side, we know what happened against Copenhagen. I know Ange knows one of their players, I think he's Australian, and obviously most Celtic fans in this podcast especially will be very familiar with their captain, Eric Svechenko. He was our first ever special guest and an invincible treble winner. How big a task is that going to be for Ange? And as Danny said, how much an impact is it going to have? Danny's right, if he loses it, people will get on his back, but at the same time, it could be quite the springboard to get him off to a flyer.
It absolutely could, that's the thing. Like you say, set him off to an absolute flyer and really sort of create a positive mood about the play. Obviously, we were linked with Svechenko not so long ago, before that draw was and a bit of special return just before the draw was made. There was a link there. Don't know how much truth was in it, or where it came from, nothing like that. But I've always liked that wee Evander that plays for them. But again, team who, let's be honest, I don't think realistically given any other sort of season other than the rebuild job we had, I'd be fearing it. But it's just that where we're at the minute, given that we know how many players we need, we don't really know. Like, I don't think MD could name you what our starting 11 is going to look like next season or for that game. And I think it'll probably change as every game we play. I don't really think it'll be a settled one. So it's going to be a difficult game. It's going to be a difficult run-in, essentially, in the Champions League. But it's a chance for Ange to really, like I say, get us after a flyer, get us after a positive start. And hopefully there'll be new players in there to do that, and it really sort of the beginning of the Ange era. But I made no mistakes about it. Difficult tie made more difficult by the fact that we're in a bit of a mess at the moment.
Aye, I completely agree. I think, especially with a new manager in, it's no ideal to have that level of opposition as your first competitive game. I know, obviously, Rodgers famously lost his first competitive game against Lincoln Redimps, but at the end of the day, you would have taken a team like that to, for Ange's first game over list, just so you can sort of get some sort of consistency in his squad and build some form. Tony, I'll bring you in. One thing that UEFA's changed for all UEFA competitions from now is the fact that there won't be any away goals. I mean, I'm trying to think, how do you think that's going to play into these qualifiers like Celtic and years gone by? Just off the top of my head, I've seen results like drawn 1-1 in Copenhagen or Maribor or even Cluj in the Champions League qualifier as a sort of good result because they had the away goal before taking it back to Celtic Park and they lost all their three ties. So what difference is it going to make to Celtic, how they're going to approach it, and do you think it'll benefit us in any way or even possibly hinder us?
I think it'd probably be more beneficial because the away goal's never done us any real favours. As you mentioned, Maribor, we get the away goal over there, brought them back to Celtic Park, made an asset. Same way, who was the team? Well, Malmo, they beat us 2-0. We obviously went over there, needed an away goal, and we couldn't get it. Cluj was a big one. We got it, came back, fell to bits. Copenhagen got it, came back, fell to bits. So I don't know if it'll maybe relieve a bit of pressure, because at home, when you concede the away goal, the heads get down, the crowd goes down. There's maybe some atmosphere, but everybody's on a knife edge because, you know, if you've conceded one, you can't concede two at home. So maybe it gives the team a bit more freedom. And I know Ange likes to play this wild attack football. So I think it might be beneficial to us because I think there'll be less pressure in the home tie, whereby you'll know, well, if you concede here, it's just not going to count for double or there's no any kind of extra pressure for that regard. So it's quite interesting. But the Midtjylland game's massive. If he wins that, he's guaranteed Europa League at least, which would be brilliant for me. I would take that now if we can, because it's six European ties we would get. It gives him a chance to tell his team, playing against better players, and hopefully this new kind of squad that's coming in and the existing squad can benefit for that, and it would give him a lot more experience. So it's a massive game. It's probably as big as the game at Ibrox, if not bigger in terms of finances. But obviously, the game at Ibrox, they're the two early ones that everybody's looking at. But I guess he needs to beat Hearts and St Mirren, and I think it's Ross County as well. Every game's a must win at Celtic, so no, it's exciting, it's scary, it's a whole kind of different range of emotions going into this era, because we really just do not know what to expect. But I expect signings in, and I expect them soon.
Aye, definitely. Danny, Tony just brought it up. It's the same as Brendan Rodgers' first league game. It's away against Hearts Tynecastle. Quite an interesting kickoff time. It's a 8 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday night. And I know recently we've had 12,000 at Hampden, 18,000 at Murrayfield, and 45,000 at Wembley. So be that gone, Jason Leach might actually let about 200 fans into that game. It's going to be, like, I know Robbie Nielsen took some amount of stick the last 6 months off of his own support. So on paper, it should be a sort of the perfect game for Ange to get off to a flyer, but Tynecastle's always going to be a tricky place to go for any Celtic manager. How do you see that one going?
It's a good view, by the way. Obviously, you need to see what team Celtic get, but Tynecastle's always one that you look at when the fixtures get announced. You always look at for Tynecastle and Ibrox and Pittodrie and stuff. So Tynecastle, first day of season, 8 o'clock kick-off on a Saturday night. Game's fairly local to me, so if they're letting in anybody, I'd gladly volunteer as a test dummy for these things. It's a good target for Ange. I'd love that to be a full house there, mainly because it gives the manager an idea of what we're up against in Scotland, and that, you know, there's probably not a better away game if the fans are allowed in to kind of wake him up to his task would be Tynecastle, because it's poisonous, it's vitriolic, the hatred that gets spouted at these games, and it would just be a great, I'm welling up thinking about it, it would just be great for Ange to experience that. I think Rodgers went through it. Obviously, Sinclair came on and scored the win in that game, and that set the tone for not only Sinclair's career, but that Celtic season. It's it's great. If it goes the other way, you know, again, he's playing catch up straight away. So, but it's probably the best game he could have got away from home to start with. Because the Celtic players that are there, they've played against Hearts, and they'll know what to expect. But just for the manager, it'll be a kind of wee eye-opener for him, hopefully. You know, Tynecastle and Ibrox in the first month. If he doesn't know what kind of task he's got come the end of that, then he probably might never know. But no, it's a good place to start. And if you want, you know, Tony talks about it a lot, but momentum and keeping that going. And he always talks about good games to get momentum. Well, you know, there's no better way to start than Tynecastle. You get a win there, a couple of games at home, and then you go to Ibrox. I mean, they could be flying by the time they get there, but hopefully that is the case. But we don't quite know what Celtic team are going to line up yet.
Aye, definitely. Like you say, Tynecastle, Pittodrie and Ibrox is sort of fixtures you look for, and Tynecastle's that's my favourite away day. I think it's just you sort of miss the poisonous atmosphere. There's been plenty of them, and I know there's been a lot of speculation about how many fans will get in, so you're just, like you say, a full house would just be fantastic in terms of, like, just in general getting fans back at the stadiums. But no, it's definitely, I think that first 6 weeks for Ange is just absolutely vital, that 6 weeks between Mitchell and the Rangers game at Ibrox on match day 4 of the league is just, I think it's gonna, you don't want to say make or break, because obviously it's a long season, but I just think if you can just come through that strongly, and like Tony says, you'd settle for Europa League if you're offered it by now, but just try and win that first Champions League qualifier, and then just, yeah, eventually going to come up against even tougher teams. But just any sort of day then just sort of builds momentum. I mean, although it's only one trophy in 3 seasons that Gerrard's won, a lot of, like, what their team was built on the sort of back of, like, European games against these sort of teams. Well, you sort of ground them out, and obviously they actually played Mitchell and not too long ago and beat them. Like, I think that helped him build confidence, and but it got him a lot of time with the Rangers fans, and like, it could work in that aspect for Ange with Celtic fans as well, if you get that sort of wee bit of confidence boost in his European game. But no, I think what else, obviously Tony, you asked about the captain. Scotland's European Euro 2020 adventure is over, and Callum McGregor was really the only one involved. I know Christian Forrest played a bit as well, but Callum McGregor obviously scored a great goal against Croatia, and there was reports last week by the mainstream media saying that it looks like it will be Callum McGregor that's given the armband once gets back from his well-earned break. But what did you make of him in the Euros? And I know we spoke about it previously, but you think it's the right choice to go with McGregor?
I remember, I'll get to him at the Euros in a minute. I thought he played well. I thought he took his goal was just such a kind of Callum McGregor-esque goal. You used to see that every couple of weeks back in like 2017. I think, see, when after the Lincoln Redemps game, Rodgers' first game, Scott Brown would probably have been the one player I wanted to go the door first. At that time, I remember I was just scared of him. And Rodgers just completely changed that about and turned him into the treble winning captain that he always wanted to be. Obviously, he won 4 of them in a row. So McGregor got a lot of stick last year, rightly so, miles off it. But on his day, I think McGregor's a really good player. I think he's very influential. I think he's a really good player going forward, as opposed to sitting. As he showed against Croatia, coming in late and just touch and finish, I thought that was a great goal. Kind of similar, he's won against Motherwell in the double treble final. So if whoever Ange deems is fit for the captain, then obviously I'll be supportive of that. But I mean, when we were finishing up last season, obviously it was a long season, it was a disaster, and I says we need to bring his own guy in. But if Callum McGregor's wanting to stay and he's going to get back to the form that we all know he's capable of, then I would be happy for him to be the captain. But it's a bit big boots to fill. I mean, Scott Brown was the captain for about 14 years or however long it was. So, you know, if it's McGregor, I'll be happy with that, and I hope he can lead. Then obviously he's not gonna be vice captain the way he sometimes was, and obviously Brown was there. This time he would be the full captain, and maybe I don't know who the vice captain would be. So I think it will be McGregor. I asked that question because I genuinely wasn't sure what he was going to say, but when he says he hopes it's internal, that tells me that he's wanting to give it to McGregor or somebody else within the squad.
Aye, Danny, I know you're not finding many Celtic fans that are only big fans of Callum McGregor, but it was obviously a very disappointing season for him. But once he went to the Euros with Scotland and played under a competent manager, he sort of rediscovered his form that we grew to love him, and what made him an integral part of Brendan Rodgers' Celtic. Is it going to be as simple as that if Ange and whoever he chooses as his background team just get back to basics and actually coaching him the way he should be and setting up a team? Are we going to see the McGregor old? And just as Tony said, Is it now time for McGregor to get the armband?
Aye, I would get McGregor. I know you said there's no many players that many Celtic fans that aren't fans of Cal McGregor. I think I'm probably one of the biggest. Thought he was really good in the Euros. Thought a game against England, he was phenomenal in the middle of the park. I thought all the talk about the boy Phillips during the week, and he never got a kick against Scotland. I thought McGregor was a monster in there for us. And, you know, the boy Gilmore, quite rightly, got a lot of praise, but I thought Cal McGregor was the best player in the park by quite a considerable distance. But enough of that. And then he took his goal really well, but enough talk about Scotland. The captain, I think he's there, should be, purely because there's nobody else in the squad I'd get to other than Julian, I think. But Julian's only been there a year, 2 years, so... McGregor's the long. I know Forrest's the longest serving player, but I don't see Forrest as much of a captain. McGregor, heartbeat of the team. I just want to maybe back to that player Rodgers had. I had brought this up when Lennon was just the interim manager, that I thought McGregor's form had fell off a cliff in the kind of 6 weeks under Lennon. And it was one of the things that, you know, Tony, and you'll remember this, but it was one of the things that started the talk about this podcast coming together, was the fact that we were talking about how Neil Lennon couldn't get a job. And one of the big reasons was that McGregor hadn't been as influential as he'd been at the start of that season, the season before. So, and I said this the other week, I don't know if I said it on here, I definitely said it on Twitter, but for all this rebuild talk and for all the problems that Postecoglou's got, it's just, he can solve, you know, 50-60% of them if he can get a tune out of Callum McGregor. And I think he would have seen a different McGregor. He's probably watched videos of Celtic last year, but I think if he watched the two games, he's probably seen a different McGregor to what we've seen all last year. You know, and as much as I'm a huge McGregor fan, he was poor last year. And I don't think it's a case of saying, oh, he's played too much football, he was tired. He'd 6 months off, and I think he just had a bad season. Coupled with the fact that he probably didn't have a role in Neil Lennon Celtic, because he kind of the odd one out, even though he was by far and away the best footballer we've got. Look at Brown, was like the kind of enforcer in there, the ball-winning midfielder, and Christie was the kind of number 10 that was kind of getting the ball to Christie at all costs, and McGregor kind of get left out there. So if Postecoglou can find a role for McGregor again, and let McGregor be the heartbeat of the team. We've said it on here before. That's what Rodgers done. He gave McGregor a purpose. And, you know, because these players like McGregor, you know, they talk about that they get, you know, they just get the ball and pass it. They only, you know, cut 6 yard passes here, 6 yard passes there. But when, if you know, not to go all statistical on folk, but when you look at the ground McGregor covers, he covers an awful lot of that without the ball. So if he can cover it with the ball, you know, in terms of passing it and going and getting it back. You know, Rodgers' teams were great at it. McGregor was great at it. He got the ball. He would maybe get it 30 yards outside our goal. And, you know, 22 passes later, McGregor's responsible for 11 of the passes. And, you know, we've got a shot and goal, or we've got a corner. So there's the big... That's, for me, Postecoglou's biggest task, apart from putting a team together, is getting McGregor to play the way McGregor can again. And maybe... You know, I know he's captained the team before and stood in and stuff, but, you know, he's probably just, you know, he knows Brown's a captain, but if you give him the armband, maybe it'll just inspire confidence in him, and maybe it could be, I think it'll be the making of him, and I'd be delighted if he was a Celtic captain, because it would mean that he's got to stay and, you know, fight for the league title again next season, because we need it back.
Aye, you make a lot of good points, I think. I'd be quite happy if one of the first things I did was give McGregor the armband, possibly with like a bumper contract extension to sort of see out the remaining peak of his career. I think, as you say, like, I just always think back to the Rodgers team. Like, there's always that game at Fir Park when they were getting beaten. McGregor just sort of dragged them and back into that game, and it was a massive moment under Rodgers in terms of going unbeaten that season. I completely agree as well what he says about Brown. Like, I know, as you say, when Brown's not on the team, it usually has been McGregor that's been wearing the armband. But just with Brown officially at the building, like, I think I don't think McGregor was sort of fazed by it, but the fact that there was obviously a respect to Brown, that he was the club captain. So I think if McGregor has it, and it might be the best time for him to get it when we are in this sort of rebuild, to have somebody there. I thought when Ange answered Tony, I thought he was spot on about if you can get it from the current squad, it's just so vital, because you've got McGregor, who's been at the club since he's been a wee boy, and obviously he'll have learned under great managers like Rodgers as well, and played under a great Celtic captain like Scott Brown, and I'm sure he'll take aspects for everything he's learned at Celtic. But I think, we're talking about obviously Celtic need quite a few transfers in, but if you look at the heart of midfield, you've got like McGregor, Tumbo and Sorrow, who there's no sort of real talk that any of them are looking to leave this summer. So you've got good components in that squad. Like, I know the defence is a bit of a shambles, and depending what happens with Edwards, you might need a new striker as well. But I think there is still talent there, and if Ange can assess it and then do what he needs to do, I think we might not be as far away from success as we possibly looks at this point. But no, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know when the Scotland boys are officially back into pre-season, but hopefully it's not too long and he can get acquainted with guys like McGregor, Forrest, Christie and David Turnbull as well. But I think we'll wrap it up. It was just sort of a wee catch-up episode. I know we're still a few weeks away from the Michelin game, so we will be back before then with a proper preview, and hopefully Celtic have got a few more bodies in the door and played a few friendlies as well that we can actually look to see what Ange is sort of trying to impose on the team when they're on the pitch. But just before we go, I'd like to thank Manscaped for sponsoring this episode. If you want to get a great discount on Manscaped products, go to manscaped.com and put in the discount code TRIM4TIMS. So that's TRIM and then the number 4 TIMS, and that'll get you a great discount on some of their great products. But I, from myself, Darren, Andy, Tony and Danny, just a big thanks for all the great feedback we've received with regards to the media conference, and we'll always bring it to you. If Celtic gives access, we will definitely be there to bring it to you as well. But aye, thanks very much for listening, and cheers.
Hail, hail.